This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com and check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. What's up, everybody? Welcome in to episode 4 this week of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Thursday edition of the podcast. It's crossover Thursday. I'm going to sit down in segments 2 and 3 with Locked On Steelers host Christopher Carter. We had an awesome back and forth conversation previewing the Eagles' big matchup week 5 this Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the Battle of Pennsylvania. It only happens once every 4 years. It's crazy. The last time the Eagles played the Steelers, Carson Wentz had the game of his life as a rookie, week 3, to get the Eagles to a 3-0 record. Outside of 2017 winning the Super Bowl, I don't think I've felt that optimistic and just that at peace with the Eagles. Since 2016, really, outside of the Super Bowl, it's been since 2016 where we were on top of the world, and I know it didn't really last very long. The Eagles go 7-9 that year, but when Carson Wentz went in at home, dominates a really good Pittsburgh Steelers team, to go undefeated to start the first 3 weeks of the season, a good Steelers defense, Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Carson Wentz as a rookie in his third week just marches all over that team to get the Eagles to a 3-0 record. There hasn't been a lot of moments since then that I've felt as optimistic and as excited. Not to say they haven't had success the last 3 years, but we know how they've had that success. 2016, man, after that Steelers win, we were on top of the world. We're thinking, holy cow, we might have a Hall of Fame quarterback on our hands that we just drafted second overall that got thrown into the starting lineup 8 days before the start of the regular season. So there's been a lot that's happened since then, but Carson Wentz back under center for the Eagles here in 2020, and he had a big bounce-back performance on Sunday against San Francisco. Let's see if he and the Birds can keep that rolling. Right now at 1-2-1, not where they want to be, but where they are, they kind of are where they want to be, as they are in first place in the NFC East, despite being 1-2-1. So they have every opportunity here to really bounce back if they can get a win on Sunday against Pittsburgh to get to 2-2-1. So we're going to get into that conversation with Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers coming up, but I do recommend you go check out the other 3 episodes this week. Monday, we did our original recap of the big win on Sunday in San Fran. On Tuesday, we did Stock Up, Stock Down. And then yesterday, Wentz Wednesday, a much more positive version of Wentz Wednesday with his incredibly inspiring performance against the Niners. Gino Camilleri, my co-host, sat down with Chris Malley of 4thandjohn.com, a big-time follow on Eagles Twitter. Love Chris's work. Those two sat down and really dove deep into Wentz's performance on primetime Sunday Night Football. So go check out those 3 podcasts on any platform. I do apologize, by the way, for the microphone quality today. I'm out of town. I am not in my podcast studio at home or at work. I work at a radio station, so I have the luxury of normally having good mic quality. Today, don't even have my headphones. I'm using straight up the microphone on the laptop that I use. So I do apologize. The quality gets a little bit better in segments 2 and 3, where I sat down with Christopher Carter of Locked On Steelers. But before we get into that, I just want to give you guys an update on who could be playing and who might be sitting out on Sunday against Pittsburgh. Thursday's injury report, tweeted an hour ago by the Philadelphia Eagles. Alshon Jeffrey did not participate. Neither did Avante Maddox. DeSean Jackson was limited with a hamstring injury. Lane Johnson limited with an ankle injury. Rodney McLeod limited with a hamstring injury. So for those guys that are limited or who did not participate, I don't think Avante Maddox is going to play. Alshon Jeffrey does have a chance, according to John Clark of NBC Philly. DeSean Jackson, too, he's practicing back-to-back games or back-to-back days. I don't know if he'll be somebody that plays like 100% of the offensive snaps on Sunday, or they were talking about getting him going on the punt return game, because the Eagles return game this year and really for the last decade, well, I should say really since Darren Sproles in 2015, it's been abysmal. And so I don't know if D-Jax is going to return to that kind of role and a bigger role on offense on Sunday against Pittsburgh, but I do think he'll be out there. He was limited today with that hamstring injury. Rodney McLeod showed up on the injury report yesterday. He missed practice on Wednesday. He did return to the field today with that hamstring injury. McLeod did tell the media today earlier that he expects to play against Pittsburgh. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, not that it matters because he's terrible, but he returned fully on Thursday with a calf injury. Fletcher Cox, rest day. Marcus Epps practiced fully, dealing with a rib. Jason Kelsey returns fully with a hip injury, and Nate Herbig practiced fully. So some good news. They could get back realistically on Sunday. Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Rodney McLeod should be a go. Jason Kelsey, even with Lane Johnson's injury, he should play as well against the Steelers. So look, this team is always banged up, and those are a lot of key names still showing up in the injury report. But things are looking up. The Eagles could be much healthier this week against Pittsburgh, and they're going to need it because this is a really damn good Steelers team. It's a good offense led by a good quarterback in Big Ben, a veteran, and an incredible defense with a terrifying front four. It's going to be one of the best defensive lines the Eagles face, if not the best, all season long. So we're going to get into that matchup coming up next with Christopher Carter of Locked On Steelers. How do the Eagles get their second win of the season to get to 2-2-1 on the season? 2-2-1 suddenly makes things look a whole lot better. If they can get a win against a damn good football team in the Pittsburgh Steelers heading into next week's matchup with the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, that would be a huge swing of momentum in this 2020 season. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Thursday edition, crossover Thursday of Locked On Eagles, and it's sponsored by Visa. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities, whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorable shops. Local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name. They always give back, making a difference and going that extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, they need our support. So it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop local and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, the official partner of the NFL. Guys, we also want to give a shout out to rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money, right? That you can use towards the mortgage or the food, more important things. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are exactly the same for everybody. It's a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com today to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, your baby, right? Write down Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
All right, everybody, it's crossover Thursday time. I'm Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast, joined by Louis DiBiase of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's the Battle of Pennsylvania. This only happens once every 4 years, Louis. Louis, how you doing, my man?
What's up, Chris? Good to finally talk to you for the first time. And yeah, that's the thing. It kind of sucks these two teams are in separate conferences. Too bad the NFL is not based on locations for divisions, because it'd be awesome if the Eagles and Steelers played twice a year. Instead, we do this once every four. And these two teams have gone through a lot since the last time they played each other. Carson Wentz was a rookie. The Eagles have not won a Super Bowl since. But it's always fun to see these two teams in Pennsylvania battle it out. And it's a big one for both squads on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to previewing this matchup with you today.
Absolutely. There's a lot to talk about here. Let's talk about the Eagles offense versus the Steelers defense. Now, the Eagles are a mash unit, and you talk about that in the first part of your show. Wanted you to give Steelers fans insight into just how bad it is, because Steelers fans for years, Ben Roethlisberger missed all the last year. It's been, there wasn't a single playoff loss they had where a superstar wasn't missing over the years. Right. But this is like the entire offensive line and the receiving core are just decimated right now.
Dude, I'm telling you, one day there's going to be a documentary on the Eagles' injuries, because since they won the Super Bowl, it's gotten worse and worse, and you can't put your finger on – there's no trend, right? Like, sometimes with these consistent problems year after year, you eventually find the issue and you correct it, right? There's adjustments you can make. And with the Eagles, it's just anybody – Jalen Reagor, brand new rookie, hasn't had an injury history, deals with a serious injury. They had this safety they signed in free agency, Will Parks, no injury history, young, gets hurt. Older, younger, injury history or not, it seems like if you are a member of the Philadelphia Eagles since 2016, during this Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz era, you get injured, and I can't put my finger on why. They even got a brand new medical staff this year, and it gets worse and worse every single season. At the end of last year when they made the playoffs, I thought to myself, it can't get any worse, right? They're playing with a practice squad offense.
Right.
And that was down the stretch where, okay, you can get through a couple games there with those injuries. This year, they've been decimated to that degree, and it's only week five now. And so for Steelers fans, you guys haven't had to – look, all teams deal with injuries, but I envy every team right now because the Eagles are just decimated at the most important positions for Carson Wentz. Like you said, on offense, the offensive line right now, they're down to their third-string left tackle, their third-string guards. The only starter on Sunday night before the season that was set to be a starter was Jason Kelce at center, and even Jason Kelce showed up on the injury report today, Chris. So they're banged up front. At wide receiver, they're down to practice squad level players like Deontay Burnett and Travis Fulgham and Greg Ward. DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey are practicing this week, but their status is up in the air for Sunday against Pittsburgh. So outside of Carson Wentz, Miles Sanders, and Zach Ertz, everything is just moving pieces, and that's really just the way life has been in Philadelphia for the past, I would say, 4 years now, man. So we'll see what happens against Pittsburgh, but right now I couldn't guarantee you what the lineup is going to look like. And that's again, the way the Eagles, that's the way it happens for them now.
Certainly. I mean, it just seems like, you know, when I look at the depth chart and I see that, you know, Jeffrey hasn't played yet. I've been holding him on a fantasy team this whole time, man, waiting for him to pop up. Yeah. But DeSean Jackson's questionable, you know, Nate Herbig, you know, Kelce being questionable. Again, Kelce, you're one guy that you're like, okay, you're the centerpiece. You can't lose him.
The only one.
it's insane to see both Andre Dillard and Jason Peters and Isaac Siomalo on injured reserve. It's just, I mean, when people say a mass unit, that's the definition right
now. Well, and Chris, don't forget, too, Brandon Brooks, who I thought was the best offensive lineman in football, tore his Achilles in June. So they were already coming in shorthanded. And Lane Johnson is going to play on Sunday at right tackle, but he had surgery on his ankle in August right before the season started, and that is a lingering injury that Doug Peterson even said earlier this week. He's going to have to play through probably all season long, and he's still playing at a very high level. But even on Sunday against San Fran, he kept coming in and out of the lineup, so you had a fourth-round rookie in Jack Driscoll play at right tackle. So it's really moving pieces everywhere. And I'm nervous, man, because you guys, the front four of Pittsburgh, you can get by against San Fran when they don't have Bosa, DeForest Buckner's gone, D Ford's not going up against Jordan Mailata, so it's guys like Ziggy Ansah. But this Sunday against Pittsburgh, it's going to be a real test to see if they can hold up and protect Carson Wentz. Because if you can't, you saw week one what happens when somebody consistently gets to Carson. Washington's front four got there all the time. They sacked him 8 times in that football game, and it killed the Birds. So Pittsburgh, I'm nervous about that matchup specifically, is the Eagles' offensive line against Pittsburgh's D-line.
It's a really tough group. It's arguably the best part of the Steelers team. I mean, I said before the season that this was going to be the best front four in the NFL, and through 3 games, T.J. Watt has 3.5 sacks, Bud Dupree has 2.5 sacks, Stephon Tuitt's got 2 sacks, Cam Hayward has 0.5 sack. And here's the thing is that, like, their front four is so dangerous because off of one edge, T.J. Watt is unstoppable at times. Right. He's been living up to the Watt name and everything. But Bud Dupree has really come into his own the last 2 years.
Yep.
You know, for a while he tried to be more of a defensive end type of rusher. Now he's combined his strength with his explosiveness off the ball, using space but also using his raw power. And on the inside, Tuitt and Hayward, when either one of them is on, it's scary. If they can both be on fire at the same time, I don't know what you do as an offensive line to prepare for it, because I've seen Stephon Tuitt collapse entire offensive lines. But the issue is that they haven't been healthy at the same time. Cam Hayward, I mean, he had double-digit sacks not too long ago. You know, he's a guy that when you could put those two next to each other, they're already a problem. You put all four of them next to each other, that they cause a lot of issues. They force, you know, running backs to come help in the game. And the Steelers still, even with that front four, they're not afraid to blitz. Mike Hilton, the slot cornerback, has 2 sacks in the season. Inside linebackers, Vince Williams, who loves to rush the passer and loves getting matched up with running backs because he bullies running backs. And the Steelers running backs know that in practice every year when they do their backs-on-backers drill. Vince Williams eats running backs alive. This team loves to get after the quarterback. And I can tell you right now, a lot of people in Pittsburgh are licking their chops at the idea of them going after Carson Wentz this week.
Yeah, look, Pittsburgh, I mean, you saw it. I mean, last year, it's why you guys almost made the playoffs with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph, bad quarterback plays, because of just how good that defense is. And so I think the key for the Eagles is kind of what they did last week against San Fran. Move Carson Wentz outside of the pocket on play action rollouts, on RPOs, use a lot of read option, get the ball out of his hands really quickly. But not just get the ball out of his hands quickly. For Carson, I do want to see him, though, continue to be that run threat that he's been against Cincinnati 2 weeks ago and against San Fran last week. He has over 100 rushing yards combined in those two games, has two rushing touchdowns. His EPA when it comes to scrambling is atop the league right now. And he's got to make up for not only just this bad matchup, the front four, going up against that Pittsburgh front four. He's got to make up for that by getting away from them quickly. But also he's got to make up for, again, he just doesn't have weapons that are going to consistently get open in 2-3 seconds, and you can't hold on to the football inside of the pocket against this Pittsburgh front for 4, 5, 6 seconds. You got to get out of there. And so for Wentz to kind of replace some of that production through the air, he's going to have to use his legs like he has. And so that's a key for Carson, is get out of the pocket. You can hold on to the football to try to make bigger plays, but if you're going to do that, make sure you get outside and do what you do as a scrambler, because right now that's the only way really the Eagles have a chance at, you know, creating big plays. And that's something I really liked from Carson all year so far. He's been very inefficient. He struggled in a lot of ways, but one thing that he's done the past 2 weeks to bounce back is use those legs. And it's always nice to have a dual threat quarterback. It just adds an element that can make up for things when everything else on the offense really isn't going right.
I wanted to get your opinion on what's up with Zach Ertz, because he only had, what, 4 catches for like 9 yards or something like that last week. Especially with all the other receivers being hurt, I thought that would be the source where if the Eagles won that game, which they did, he would have been a hero. And it turns out he wasn't even a factor in the win as far as receiving-wise. What's going on there, and do you think that's going to change very soon?
Yeah, Chris, look, Zach Ertz – everybody knows that before the season, he wanted to get a contract done. He wanted a big Travis Kelce-like extension, George Kittle. And with the Eagles, look, they have Dallas Goedert in-house. He's 24 years old. He's getting better and better every year. The first 2 weeks of this season, he looked incredible. He's got the traits of a Kelce, of a Kittle. The Eagles have no salary cap wiggle room in the next couple of years. And so as much as they love Zach Ertz, they weren't really willing to budge, and Ertz was frustrated. And he's not really making the case this year so far as to why the Eagles should reconsider their stance on his contract talks down the road. And it is disappointing, because normally the last couple of years, when everything else is falling apart around Carson Wentz, his one safety blanket he's always had since his rookie year has been number 86, and it's been Zach Ertz. And this year, I don't know if it's just because he's facing bracket coverage and he's looking at double teams every single week, but that's been the case in the past too, and he's played way better than this. So, look, I don't think it's going to be a consistent trend throughout the season, but you're right. Zach Ertz has not done enough this season to make up for the loss of DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey and Jalen Reagor and Dallas Goedert. And so he really needs to pick it up, especially against Pittsburgh this week. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things, the distraction of the contract talks, facing double teams every single week, Wentz just looking – in other directions, and I think it's just bad play right now. But they need Zach Ertz moving forward, even if it's not, you know, down the road long term. In 2020, Zach Ertz has got to be better than he's been.
I think that's a fair assessment right there. Steelers defensive wise, as far as in coverage, they're still figuring some things out. But Devin Bush continues to improve week to week. He's only
I'm jealous of your guys' linebackers, man. The Eagles would kill for a Devin Bush right now.
I'm telling you, and here's the thing, don't sleep on Vince Williams. He rushes the passer, and he takes on the run very well. I think going into last week before they were given their unofficial bye week, he was leading the league in tackles for loss. He's a huge run stuffer, and he's smart in coverage. He's not quick. He's not going to blanket anybody, but he's a guy who can drop into a zone and fool somebody. He was the first Steeler to intercept Tom Brady over a span of 10 years, a few years ago, which is crazy. But – that's who Vince Williams is. He's going to be smart. And lurking behind them, the secondary, they're not known for it yet, But Joe Hayden's still playing at a very solid level. Mm-hmm. When he's targeted, there's only been like one or two plays where he's given up anything significant. Steven Nelson, he was on fire last year. He hasn't been on fire yet. We'll see if he bounces back. But Terrell Edmonds has played well, flowing from sideline to sideline. He's going to be a guy that matches up with Zach Ertz because of his size. He's also good at covering running backs. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, he hasn't made his presence felt yet this year, but I can see that this secondary, they're getting more and more comfortable because this year the Steelers are blitzing even more than before. They are just going after people, and they're letting their secondary kind of stay on islands. And I think that that's where the chemistry is still coming into place and figuring out, okay, this is how we depend on each other in these situations. It's getting there. I'm interested to see how the Eagles receivers and tight ends, whoever they will be for this game, match up with the Steelers secondary.
Yeah, Chris, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's a daunting matchup for the Eagles offense. There's not a single matchup that they have the upper hand in. I mean, let's just be real. It's called spade a spade. Pittsburgh defense is a top-tier unit. And if the Eagles want to get a win here, they're going to have to be opportunistic. They're going to have to make the plays when they get those limited looks. They will. They'll get. I mean, that was the case last week with San Fran. They had to fight for every single yard, and they just got that one good one-on-one look down the left sideline to Travis Fulgham. Wentz hits him on the money for that 42-yard touchdown, and the Eagles win the game. That's the same thing here with Pittsburgh. They're going to have to fight and claw for all sorts of any sort of offensive production. And this is one of those games where you just need your franchise quarterback, your $100 million man, to elevate the team. And Wentz, although it's unfair to keep asking him to pull a rabbit out of the hat every single week, honestly, man, he's got to do that again this Sunday against Pittsburgh if the Eagles want to have a chance at matching Big Ben in their offensive production.
I agree with that assessment, though. Shout out to Woodland Hills product from here in the Pittsburgh area, Miles Sanders. A lot of people rooting for him in the area. We're going to toss it to a quick break, but before we do, we got to talk about our great sponsor, Built Go.
Coming from the same great folks over at Built Bar, it's the solution to breaking through that wall. Whether that's the mental wall, the physical wall, break through it with Built Go. For me, it's getting through the radio, the overnight shift, 10 o'clock to 5 a.m., physical and mental to get through that. And what I like to do, get that Built Go, three awesome flavors. My go-to is the peanut butter honey, but they've also got chocolate coconut and chocolate mint as well. Visit BuiltGo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. All right, everybody, welcome back into Crossover Thursday right here on Locked On Eagles and Locked On Steelers. Louis DiBiase here, the host of Locked On Eagles alongside Christopher Carter. All right, Chris, we got into the Eagles offense against the Steelers defense, that matchup on Sunday. The Steelers have every advantage, really, with that matchup. If the Eagles want to win this football game, man, I think you look at their defense, and one key that they've been able to lean on over the last couple weeks to stay in these football games is, I mean, we talked about how good the Pittsburgh pass rush has been. The Eagles' front four has been dominating over the last 3 weeks. They lead the league in sacks right now with 17, and they're getting pressure everywhere. On the edge with Brandon Graham and Josh Sweat and Derek Barnett up front, Fletcher Cox in the middle, Javon Hargrave, Malik Jackson. These are two of the best defensive lines in the league that are going to be on the field together. And so I think that's a key, man, for the Eagles at least, is they got to get after Big Ben, Ben Roethlisberger, with that front four, because if Roethlisberger has time in the pocket, I am so nervous about the Eagles linebackers. They have been such a liability this season. And so the reason last week in the second half of the Cincy game, they were able to kind of hide that inefficiency on defense is because the front four is just getting there in time. And it's buying Darius Slade time to be aggressive. Roddy McLeod, you finally saw turnovers last week. And so that's the key against your guys' offenses. This defensive line has to come through once again.
It's going to be interesting to see how this matchup goes because the Steelers' offensive line, they were a bit of a match unit to start the season. Marquise Pouncey was there, but David DeCastro, the five-time Pro Bowler and first-time all-pro guard, he was out for the first two games. They were down to their third-string guard, a fourth-round draft pick rookie, Kevin Dotson, who filled in actually very nicely. And at right tackle, they lost their starter in the first game of the season. A lot of people were questioning what was going on. But now they've seemed to find some answers. Chukwuma Okorafor, a third-round pick from 2 years ago, he stepped in, and he's played really well at right tackle. Mm-hmm. David DeCastro's back. He played well last week. The Steelers have managed to have a 100-yard rusher in all three of their first three games here. Yep. And Okorafor, I got to say, I'm interested to see how he plays this game because against the Texans, he lined up against J.J. Watt for the majority of the game. in 90 at the time, it was, I think he's at 99 games now, but at the time with 98 games that JJ Watt had played in his past, like what, 12 seasons going back to his second year in the league, only three of those 98 games that he had played had he not had a tackle for loss or a quarterback hit, and Chukwuma Okorafor shut him out and made it for the fourth time. He's looking tough. This is going to be, I think, a really good in-the-trench battle right here. Steelers fans know about Javon Hargrave. That guy, there's a lot of love for that guy.
I was going to say, you guys know him very well. He was the Eagles' big fish free agent, and he was dealing with injuries, Chris, to start the season. And so the first couple weeks of the season, people started to criticize that move. Like, do they spend all this money on just this plodding defensive tackle? No way. He's been healthy the last 2 weeks, and he's getting to the quarterback consistently.
He's tough. He keeps low leverage. He all uses his hands really efficiently. I've always loved the way he works. Got to ask this question, not necessarily a football question, but, okay, in Pittsburgh, Javon Hargrave was known as Jay Wobble and the Gravedigger. Have either of those names passed on, or does he have a new nickname?
I didn't know that. That's awesome. I got to start using those nicknames. We haven't had one for him yet.
Okay.
But maybe it's just because he was hurt and wasn't making an impact enough early on in the season. But those two nicknames, Eagles fans listening, we got to get those to stick. The Eagles need more nicknames, and that's a great one. He's – let me tell you, though, I mean, again, the numbers haven't showed up for him. Sometimes that just happens with defensive tackles, right? It's just hard for those guys to rack up, you know, 15 sacks a season and crazy numbers. But – his presence has been known the last 2 weeks, and there's been times where quarterbacks got to flush outside of the pocket because of Hargrave, Cox, Malik Jackson as well. They have a luxury inside of pass-rushing defensive tackles, and it's why guys like Josh Sweat have been able to have three sacks in four games. Brandon Graham has three sacks. Derek Barnett, 2.5 the last 2 weeks. So Hargrave, Jackson, Cox, they got to get to Big Ben, force him outside, and let those defensive ends go to work. That's the key matchup, I think, Chris. Because, again, the Eagles linebackers, I'm nervous about that matchup. And at corner, they finally have a true CB1 in Darius Slay. But outside of him, talk about injuries, they once again are down to bare bones at cornerback. They had to move Jalen Mills last week back to outside corner. Stop. And they originally, this year, Chris, had moved him to safety to replace Malcolm Jenkins. And so they lost Avante Maddox. Nickell Robey-Coleman got banged up. They cut Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones. Will Parks was hurt at safety, a guy that could play corner too. And so they're down to bare bones at that position too. So the key is this defensive line, much like Carson Wentz on the other side, this defensive line for the Eagles needs to cover up the issues on the second and third level, or else they're going to lose this football game.
And I think it's a really interesting strategy here, because the Steelers, I think they have a real chance to target down the middle of the field. Darius Slay is still a very bad man. Whoever he matches up with, it's going to be a tough day.
Agreed.
But the Steelers have an assortment of weapons for Ben Roethlisberger to throw to right now that they're still figuring out who they like the most. Everyone knows Juju Smith-Schuster. He leads the team with three touchdowns. But Deontay Johnson, who's coming back off of concussion protocol, he led the team in targets before he got hurt. He is dangerous with his routes.
What's up with you guys and receivers? You guys develop – I mean – I would kill for whoever it is. The Eagles need to pay that man money, because you guys have an incredible history of developing receivers over the last, 20 years.
I mean, they haven't spent a first-round pick on a receiver.
And they all work out anyway. I mean, it's incredible.
And they all work out. Chase Claypool is the newest one. Honestly, the hype on Chase Claypool is real. In practices, he's giving people problems. He's getting behind defenses. Last week, he helped close the game, or not last week, 2 weeks ago, he helped close the game out, on a last-minute pass where Ben Roethlisberger just said, hey, it's 3rd and 9, go get this. And he caught it at 1 yard and just trucked through two guys. It's going to be a matchup problem. Also, Eric Ebron at tight end, he didn't start off early with the Steelers working out, but then that third game, they really started to feed him the ball. Him and Ben Roethlisberger for years were talking to each other kind of like in a Cold War fashion, like, hey, I'd love to play with you. Hey, I'd love to play with you too. And I remember covering the Steelers against the Lions in 2017, and they were hugging each other at midfield. And we were all looking at each other like, that's weird. Where'd that come from? And sure enough, Ebron, when he gets signed with the Steelers, he's like, it's been my dream to play with Ben Roethlisberger for years. And against the Broncos, it was the Texans, he caught his first touchdown pass. And it was a beautiful one, and I think that's where the Steelers, with the injuries that the Eagles have and the challenges they're having over the middle of the field, if the Steelers can get Slay lined up with someone out on the outside, Juju lines up in the slot a lot, Johnson lines up in the slot a lot, and you got Ebron and Vance McDonald still an athletic tight end, and their tight end too. they can attack that middle of the field. And I think that's where the questions will be. And again, that's where the pass rush has to get home, because when you target the middle of the field, usually that's a quicker release type of a passing play that you're talking about there. That's where the Coxes, the Hargroves, the Jacksons, if they can disrupt the pocket and make Ben Roethlisberger move off his launch point, that's how you disrupt that.
For sure.
But I, you know, just on paper, it looks like that's a really rough matchup in the secondary for the Eagles.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is this year, three of the four games for the Birds, they have not been able to cover the tight end. And it wasn't just obviously George Kittle last week. He's going to get his no matter what. But it was also Higbee for the Rams week two, destroyed this linebacking core. And that's the problem, is again, the Eagle, and not even just them, Chris, but week one, Logan Thomas, a former quarterback that has switched positions, dominated the Eagles in the red zone and was key in that second half comeback for Washington. And so that's the problem, is it's really anybody at tight end right now is hurting this football team, because the guys that were supposed to stop the tight ends, Malcolm Jenkins is gone now. Will Parks was supposed to be that guy, right? That roamer, that Swiss Army knife across the formation. He's been injured all year. They haven't used Kayvon Wallace, their rookie out of Clemson, at safety outside of last week. And so, and Jalen Mills has had to go play corner. Yep. And Ronnie McLeod is your single high safety. So guys like Marcus Epps, a fifth string safety, Duke Riley, Nate Geary, who I think is the worst linebacker in football, those are the guys that have to cover tight ends right now. And so Ebron has a very favorable matchup. And yeah, again, I think Pittsburgh has, not to be a downer for Eagles fans, it was a big win last week. They're in first, even at 1-2-1. But I got to be honest with the matchup. This is a really tough one for the Eagles. Outside of Carson Wentz and their defensive line, they really should not be favored in any other key matchup of this football game. So those two, that unit of the defensive line, and number 11, Carson Wentz, they've just got to be better than the rest of Pittsburgh. They've got to elevate this football team. You got to win because of those two key areas, or else they're going to probably be 1-3-1.
I think it's a tall task for the Eagles, just a lot of different points. And it stinks because the Eagles have such a lot of potential on their roster if they were all healthy. And I was looking forward to – listen, I went to Cheney University for undergrad, which is a small HBCU, actually the first HBCU, and it's like right outside of Philly. So I dealt with Philly fans for 4 years. And I used to, my favorite day, if I wasn't watching the Steelers, my favorite thing to do was to find whatever residence hall had the game on. But Eagles Cowboys, every time they played, it was just utter war, because the Cowboys fans would show up, the Eagles fans would show up, and I would just grab some popcorn and just be like, okay, this is great. And that's why I'm so upset that both of these teams aren't doing well right now, because I want to see that matchup and be it to be great. But
Chris, the good thing is that both teams right now, the Eagles are only a half a game up. So like last year, neither team was good, but it still came down to a Week 16 matchup. Basically, the winner takes the NFC East. So I guess that's the good thing is, when the Eagles and Cowboys do play, the matchup will be important. And that's just crazy that the Eagles are at 1-2-1. They are alive and in sole possession of first place. But you're right. It stinks, because I really liked what this team had on paper heading into the season. I picked them to be the 3 seed in the NFC. I thought they got faster and younger and better on both sides of the football. And just for the third year in a row now, we just don't know what this team can be at full strength, because they're not even close to being there. And so that doesn't excuse Carson Wentz and his play this year, Doug Peterson's play calling, Howie Roseman's drafting and his free agent moves. But at the same time, it's really hard to fully evaluate what this team is,
right,
if they're a contender or a pretender, because again, you're playing with guys. I mean, all of Twitter on Sunday is like, who is Travis Fulgham? And we're like, welcome to the Eagles world, man. We're dealing with these no-name misfits every single week, and you guys are just joining the party.
I agree, man. That's a lot to deal with, but hey, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, some more guys can get healthy by Sunday with these practice reports. Louis, this is a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad we got to do this. Please let the listeners know so that our people can follow you as well. Give them a follow, but let them know where they can follow you and find more of your work.
Yes, sir. Let me get my shameless plugs in here. You can follow me on Twitter at DBIASILOE. You can subscribe to the Locked On Eagles podcast on any platform. And I also post every episode on lockedoneagles.com. And so it was super fun. And I can't wait for this matchup, the Battle of Pennsylvania, on Sunday.
Same here. My name is Chris Carter for Locked On Steelers. You can find me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Don't be afraid to hit me up anytime. I'm always down to chat on you on Twitter or in the DMs. Just anyone. I understand if you want to keep privacy, but I'm also the University of Pittsburgh's beat writer for DKPittsburghSports.com, as well as their NFL analyst. I cover college football and pro football for them. So all that coverage you can find at DKPittsburghSports.com. If you're a Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, Pitt. We also cover Penn State and Duquesne now, so if you're anywhere with that, join us there. You can check our website there, and also, of course, the Locked On Steelers podcast. Hey, Steelers fans, Eagles fans, let's help each other out. Let's give each other some 5-star reviews on these shows.
Heck yeah.
We can do that. It helps both of us get up the rankings and get us more notice. So thanks to all those who have done that, but do that. Leave some positive comments on the shows. Would really appreciate it from you. But from Chris Carter and Louis DiBiase, thanks so much for listening to Crossover Thursday. We'll be both back in your ears for Friday's episode.
Perfect, dude.